It certainly says a lot about many countries. But tonight, we're asking the question, is character important? And apparently not in many parts of the world. Now, there are some words that are being heard in public less and less. For example, fornication is practically obsolete. And unless you're worshiping somewhere or reading your Bible, you probably won't read or come across the word. Also, sin is seldom heard because very few people take sin and its consequences seriously these days. But another word that should be on the endangered species list is that of character. Dr. Os Guinness reports that from 1890 to 1910, more than a century ago, two popular magazines, which were Ladies' Home Journal and Good Housekeeping, during that time period, 33% of the articles written dealt with character. By the end of the next decade, however, 1920, the number of articles on that subject had diminished to only 3%. And then came the Roaring Twenties, and we haven't heard a lot about character since that time. You certainly won't find a character the subject in the tabloids that you find by checkout counters. No, they're too interested in gossip to do anything about character, and even when somebody has bad character, so much the better for them. It allows them to sell their papers to voyeurs who want to hear the salacious details. Editors and writers have no idea anymore what constitutes character. Who, besides a Christian, believes in absolute truth? And if you don't think that that is an important loss, try defining character apart from absolutes. Now, we would like to ask the question, what does the Bible say about character? Character is not found in the King James Version of the Bible, although plenty of words relating to it are found. Virtue, honesty, righteousness, integrity. All of those words can be found in the King James. Various other translations use the word rarely also. Most of them, Romans 5:4 is the only place you'll find it. And as you heard read tonight, the word character in the King James is experience, but character is a good translation in that particular spot. Well, what is character? What is character? We want to talk about the definition of character. I didn't think the dictionary had a lot of great insights into character. About the best thing I could find was moral or ethical strength, integrity, fortitude. Well, that does say something, but it doesn't say a whole lot. Os Guinness, again, wrote a book in the year 2000 in which he claims that character consists of three basic ideas, what he terms as core, consistency, and cost. We'd like to talk about those ideas for just a moment. The core, by that it means what a person is inwardly. What's at the core? What are the core beliefs? What are the core attitudes? It becomes evident, usually, under pressure. You may have heard the saying before, reputation is what people think you are. Character is what God knows you are. There's a difference between the two. Only you know what you are inwardly. We can fool one another outwardly, can't we? Oh, say, he's a great spiritual leader, someone might say, of an elder or a preacher, a member of the Lord's church. However, that's only what we perceive. That may not be the way it actually is. One former preacher here, as Joe Leon can tell you, was caught embezzling funds, and he moved to another place and did the same thing. Outwardly, people may have thought this is a great godly person, but he was not inwardly, not at the core. One elder in the state of Illinois serviced vending machines, and he was caught stealing from them and had to resign not only his work as an elder, but he had to resign his work from the company and move somewhere else. And how many preachers and or possibly members have been caught, and how many have not been caught, with pornography on their computers? Other people may have no idea that such a thing has occurred. Other people may think, great spiritual leader, but God knows better. Now, nobody knew about any of these things, at least not for a time. All these folks that we've just talked about enjoyed a great spiritual reputation. But what was their character? God knew all along, didn't he? Character is what you are when no one is around. Has your conscience ever bothered you? Let's take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. David and his men were in a cave, and that would help if I was in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. David and his men were in a cave, and Saul came in, and he secretly, in verse 4, cut off the corner of Saul's robe. Now, it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut off Saul's robe. His heart bothered him. His conscience spoke to him, and that is a good thing. If that happens to you, your character is shining through when that happens. We usually know what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. Listening to the conscience will cause one to have the right kind of character. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. Matthew 5, verses 27 and 28. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now, somebody might be thinking to himself, "Well, hey, nobody knows that I'm doing this." Well, God does. And sometimes bad things may happen to you. One day, a guy was driving along in kind of stop-and-go traffic, and here came a woman jogger coming down the road, fairly scantily clad. And he watched her, and then as she passed by, he watched her in the rearview mirror and inadvertently ran into the car in front of him. Well, not only was that embarrassing, he couldn't bring himself to tell his wife what had happened either. How do you explain that to your mate? So the thing just seemed to grow worse rather than getting better. God always knows, even if there hadn't been a car crash, a small one, even if that hadn't happened, God would have still known. And it is still wrong, according to what Jesus taught. So what are you at your core? Then let's go to consistency. This is striving to do what is right always. Not today, I'm going to try to have character. Tomorrow, yeah, I may, you know, let up a little. No, it's a consistent type of thing. It involves forming habits in the heart, not just for today, but all the time. And then the third thing is cost. Cost. A person is willing to sacrifice in order to live by his convictions. Does it cost something? Okay, then we pay the price. David had sinned and needed to offer a sacrifice to God. Araunah offered David all that he needed to offer the sacrifice, the place, the sacrifice itself, all of it. But let's go to 2 Samuel this time and read from verse 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 24. After he made the offer for the sacrifice and all that David needed, the king said to Araunah, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which with that which costs me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there the altar to the Lord and offered the burnt offering and the peace offering. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. David was willing to pay the cost. He did not want it to be free. He wanted to pay what he owed in order to offer it to God so that it would be worth something and that God would be pleased. David showed his integrity, his character in responding the way he did. He was the one who needed to pay for and to make the sacrifice. And so as we talk about character, there is what we are at our core. There is the idea that we need to be consistent in what we're doing. And there is the idea of being willing to pay the cost that is required. Now, how do you develop character? That's a good question. You don't just wake up with it. How do you get it? You have probably come across this idea somewhere along the line. But if not, we want to mention, and it's what we have basically on the sign out front today, and that is, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Notice that it begins with the thoughts. What are you putting into your mind? The Word of God? What are you reading? What are you watching? Movie theaters and directors and television writers are trying to get us to accept certain things. They put profane language into a movie intentionally. If you will think about some movie that you have seen where there was profane language, ask yourself, was that really necessary? And the answer is no. It didn't add anything to the movie and, in fact, detracted from it, which is why we have certain devices to take care of those types of things that are not necessary. And the movie is just as good, in fact, better and more enjoyable when that is omitted. But they're also trying to get us to accept fornication. How often are the heroes involved in illicit sexual situations? They're trying to get us to accept adultery, and you can't have missed that they're trying to get us to accept homosexuality. I don't think there's a new TV series that's come out in the last 5 years that hasn't had at least one homosexual character. And now there's one, a detective, that is being portrayed, and he's married to a man, quote unquote. Of course, obviously not actually. You know, some of these people need to think about what they're doing and realize they have to answer to God someday for how they are influencing people along these lines. By the way, the music industry and MTV cannot be overlooked either. The point is this: if we fill our minds with these thoughts, what are we going to reap? And let's take a look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, which speaks mightily to this point. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Have you ever heard about anybody going out and planting corn and reaping beets? Have you ever heard about somebody planting potatoes and reaping watermelons? No, you reap what you sow. And so if you're sowing corruption, what are you going to reap? It's that simple. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh, and isn't that what many of these TVs and movies are doing? If you sow to the flesh, you reap what? Corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Our actions will eventually reflect our thoughts. If we have those thoughts, we're going to reap the actions. And those actions will form a habit which becomes our character. And if we allow Hollywood to mold our character, what kind of destiny are we going to end up with? Let's take a look at Luke chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Luke 17, verses 1 and 2. And then he said to his disciples, "It is impossible that offenses will come, but woe to him through whom they come." Are you listening, Hollywood directors and producers? Are you listening, TV executives? Are you listening, music industry? It is impossible that offenses will come, but woe to them who through whom they come. It would be better for him for a millstone to be hung around his neck and he be thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. And little ones is often used to refer to us Christians. They will have a price to pay for the things that they do. And what kind of influence, if we are influenced by those things, what kind of influence are we going to exercise over others? We need to develop our own character, and that needs to be a priority in our lives, does it not? Now, somebody might say, well, how are we going to do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Bible has answers. Colossians chapter 3. Let's begin with verses 1 through 4. Colossians 3, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Seek the things of the kingdom. Seek the things of the church, of the body of Christ, in other words. Set your minds on things above and not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So first of all, think about what has happened to us as we obeyed the gospel. And we now have a different outlook, a different way of viewing things than we had before. The old person has been put to death, as we oftentimes read from Romans chapter 6, 3 through 5. But then there's more answer on how to develop character. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, in which you also walked when you lived with them. So we need to get rid of some things, get rid of some contaminations, get rid of some things that may be influencing our minds. That's a good way to begin to develop character. But there are a few more things that ought to be put off that we see in verses 8 through 11. But now you must also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Now there's a good way to develop character. Oh, but wait a minute. All we talked about were things to put off. We might need to put something on, don't you think? So Paul tells us, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. There's another shorter verse that covers some of these things that we often make reference to, and that's in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, where Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So, sowing to the flesh or sowing to the spirit, that's what we need to be concerned about as we sow actions that become habits that determine our character and determine ultimately our destiny. Is character important? Yes. First of all, it's important for you that you be a person of character. Second of all, it's important for the church that members be people of character. Third, it's important for society, because we are the only ones who can influence society in a positive direction. Think about it. Do you want somebody lacking character to handle your money or your business affairs? Would you hire an accountant who was disreputable, like the one we read about in Luke? No, you don't want that. Do you want to hire for important work those who lack character, maybe those who are alcoholics or drug addicts or liars or thieves or just plain lazy? Are these the kind of people you want to hire? Are these the kind of people you want to do business with? Of course not. What about teachers? What do you have in terms of expectations for teachers who are going to influence your children? Do you care if they have character or not? Surely you do. Peggy Noonan, who was a speechwriter for President Reagan, said, in a president, character is everything. He does not have to be the most brilliant, paraphrasing now, or able to handle everything personally or know everything about foreign affairs. Quote again, but you can't buy courage and decency. You can't rent a strong moral sense. You either have it, you have developed it, or you do not. These thoughts, by the way, about character and people possessing character, should be applied most of all to the person that we choose to marry. Sometimes women have married handsome and athletic men. Some, like Samson, have married for beauty. Beauty and athleticism deteriorate, they wear off, but character remains. Solomon wrote about the pretty face that lacks character. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 22. Men are always attracted somewhat by beauty, and Solomon knew all about that. But listen to some of the things he wrote in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31, beginning with verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verses 25 and 26. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. I know everybody is attracted superficially and externally to some degree to other people, but we cannot think that that is the most important quality. These others that have been mentioned are far greater ultimately. So, we have the core, what you are inside, that's your character. We have consistency, not now and later and not in between, but always, and cost, being willing to pay whatever it costs. And then we have, of course, that thoughts, you sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow actions, you reap habits. You sow habits, you reap character. This is what forms your character. And then that character determines where you are in eternity. You need character. Others need to see characters. I don't mean, you know, flaunting everything and making a show or a display of yourself. But if you have character, other people will, over time, understand that and see that you have it. Homes will be better. The church will be better. Society will be better. And society really needs it, as you can tell. What kind of character do you possess? If you need to improve it and you need our prayers to assist you in this, we're glad to help. If you have never obeyed the gospel, you haven't begun to form your character yet. You have to begin by honestly studying the Word of God and responding to what it teaches concerning salvation, namely involving not only faith, but faith that leads you to repent of your sins and confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then to be baptized to have forgiveness of your sins. Then you can begin to keep God's commandments, die to the sin and the things of the world, and quit sowing to the flesh and begin sowing to the Spirit. If we can help you in any of these endeavors this evening, let us know while we stand and while we sing.